Hey, this is Russ Dizdar. We are here tonight. This is May the 21st. And listen, we've got you for 1 hour here. ShatterTheDarkness.net's the website. If you're brand new to the show, want to say welcome to all those who are coming in. Welcome to the believers across the land in Christ. And listen, to those that are seeking, very important that you take the time to check out, especially the series this week. We apologize. It looks like that our clock was off here locally. We were calling in here about 2-3 minutes till, and it was 2-3 minutes after. So if you've got a little bit of a bump at the beginning of the show, that is my fault for looking at a computer clock that is still showing me that it's 3 minutes till 6, and we are definitely about 4 or 5 minutes afterwards. Want to say welcome and thanks for the emails this week concerning the series that we are doing. God is alive and well in these last days, even if some people don't want him to be. Now, there is really, truly, there's been a war on God that has shown itself in history all along the way, and there is... Well, that shows itself in many different ways, but I think that we're gonna touch on some of the things tonight, like Nietzsche's "God is dead, we killed God." Well, Leatherface, the English rock group, "God is dead." So across the board, there are those that are angry at God, those that are mad that literally for the situation that we are in the world that we live in. Let's stop for a moment and think through this. Imagine if you will, you know, like the song Imagine, no heaven, no hell, taking it all away. No God. Imagine no God whatsoever. Here we are on the planet. It's going to leave for us and for all the seekers all the questions, all the frustrations, all the sorrows, and even, yes, all the anger. All the anger is going to be there still. And I think that's what Richard Dawkins, the atheist, is... I think that's the fuel behind his motivations. It's not about proof or disproving. How much proof do we need? Doubting Thomas finally bowed down and said, "My Lord and my God, how much proof does anybody need in all the world?" Tonight's topic the title tonight out of the topic for the week is, "Why Won't God Go Away, Even If Some Are Trying to Nix Him?" Even if some are trying to nix him. So there you are. You're on your deathbed. Whatever the issue, there you are lying on the deathbed, and you can hear yourself breathing. You can feel the sense of life going out of your body. You're looking up at the ceiling, and there's nobody in the room. All the family has gone away. The doctors are gone. It's just you and the cold hospital room, maybe the beep or two of the machines that are around you. You feel the wires connected to you. You've been there a while. You're rehearsing your life. You're thinking through some of the things you've been through, and there you are wondering now. I've been at the side of the bed of those who have died right on the spot. I have observed some in utter fear, not knowing what was going to happen. Others wondering. Here we are, if we're going to say that God is not there, if there is no God, there we are at the end of life, 80 years old, lying in a bed, looking up at the ceiling, thinking about children, thinking about grandchildren, thinking about jobs, work, spouse, life, meaning, purpose, origins, death, endings, afterlife. There is something about death that though scientists can explain what happens and the brain goes dead, the blood stops flowing, the body goes hard, all these kind of things can be explained except the meaning of it and what happens afterwards. There's vast limitations to science, yet, I've got a book in front of me written by Andrew Newberg, MD, Eugene Diaquil, MD, PhD, and Vince Rouse. It is at the top, like a subtitle, "Brain Science and the Biology of Belief." The title of the book in the middle of the hardcover says this: Why God Won't Go Away. So I'm looking at this book. Next to it is Richard Dawkins' book, The God Delusion. So you got one man over here saying the God delusion, God doesn't exist. And, well, basically Richard tells you that if you read his material, by the time you get done reading, you're also going to agree and nix God out of your life's equation. In chapter 2 of this book, Why God Won't Go Away, chapter 2 starts off brain machinery, the science of perception. And in the first part of chapter 2, it talks about how the scientists developed a robot. And the robot has computers and is bolted onto a rolling metal frame. They call it in a book a rather homely traveler. I'm quoting now, it has been built for smarts, not beauty, and its powerful computer brain had been loaded with specially written software designed to help it think its way across the room. The robot had also been equipped with a rudimentary sense of vision, equipped by a video camera bolted into its metal frame, which could feed its digital brain with the sensory input needed to complete the trip successfully. Now, as I begin to read how the scientists build a robot, crude, and in their words, rather homely looking, and it was supposed to be able to make itself a path from one side of the room to the other by calculating, by using what it has been given, and the concept here is that the creators, scientists, made a crude machine with computer and video camera, and it was to some way, somehow, think its way across to the other side. Some would equate that to, well, we are here, we are coded, we are designed, we are made, and is that all we are? Is that all we are as a rather homely, crude, looking object? Crude parts bolted in. As I look at this and I read about artificial intelligence, and you look about the robots the Japanese put out that can walk and serve you a drink, and the dog robot or the sweeper robot and some of the other robotics. I mean, computers can also calculate vast, and they seem to be extremely incredible, though I don't think any of them has reached the capacity of the human brain's ability to interact and calculate and decide. Listen, there's a vast difference in that a scientist can, by their finite abilities and technologies that continue to develop along the way, create something and then look at that creation. Vast limitations, needed improvements, everything else. Now, the difference is back in the garden, back in the days of majesty, before the fall of the human race, before the entrance of radical evil, before death, before war, before rape, before pain, disease, and dying, there was Adam. Let us create Adam, mankind, humankind, in our image and in our likeness. There's the high order of infinite Trinity. Indecision. Let us create by a special act. And all of biblical revelation speaks about it being an act of special design. Special creation. I mean, there's the earth, there's the planets, there's the sun, there's the galaxy, there's the universe, there's the animals, there's the water, there's the sky, there's the air. In all of that, none of it is in the image, the imago Dei, or the likeness of God. Everything in the universe in chapter 2, 1 and 2 is declared to be good, good, good all the way down. Take a read, Genesis 1 and 2. A very simple yet profound snapshot of beginnings and what occurred. Adam, humankind, created in the image and the likeness of God, eternal, able to see God, walk with God, interact with God, and begin to develop and live and breathe and act with the design of finite, sovereign human will. That's what you have. As you listen to me now, you're listening by choice. You're listening by the decision you have made. Whether there's been influence or not, you still make the decision. Unless somebody has put a gun to your head and said, you got to listen to Russ today. Which probably didn't happen. Unless somebody programmed you with some kind of mental programming, which would take over your free will, and you would no longer be really acting as a human being. See, human beings, in their very created structure, are free but finite human will. We make choices. We make decisions. We can develop. As a matter of fact, you could be 80 years old and continue to learn, continue to develop. In so many ways, it's as if our capacity to grow and learn and experience continues, even in a fallen world where there's all kinds of interruption, destruction, and decay and limitation. We see literally in the beginning, the created order is you and I as mankind in majesty, in brilliance, by infinite, immeasurable God. Makes us in God's image. Now, you can stop there and say, well, I'm not sure about that. I'm a seeker. I'm a looker. What about Buddhism? What about this? What about atheism? Well, we're going to talk about that again here in a few moments. We're going to deal with what atheism really has to offer you. All next week, we're going to deal with what it is they promise. What it is they offer. You see, if all you do is listen to what the atheist says about there is no God, there is no God, their passionate, you know, cry, there is no God, they're blaming wars and everything else. Well, we'll talk about that again next week, but tonight, in this topic that we have, that God is alive and well in these last days, we mentioned on Monday the attempt to erase God. And we said Monday night, we brought in the article on the Doomsday Project, Barstow, California, and it's beginning to pick up in Chicago and Kansas City and other places. You know, underground bunkers, because so many believe that a doomsday scenario is coming and they want to live, they want to breathe. And so there's condos you can get underground for $1.75 million. The attempt to erase God involves everything that is going on right now. It's all about God. It's all about, you know, an attempt to erase God from existence and to replace God. And that is the spiritual process, whether masqueraded in a New Age light or literally released in lethal darkness in the belly of the beast of Europe in the illumined, quote, illumined ones, and some of those listen. And you see the real stuff, blood, guts, and the scenario of satanic evolution in the world. And that agenda has been spelled out, and that's the good thing in a fallen world where we sometimes seem to, we cannot make sense. Though the world feels that catastrophic, chaotic events are coming. Though the 2012ers and others are preparing the world for a massive, what, cleansing, a catastrophe, a end of the world, a beginning of a new world. Everybody's now understanding the simple thing. Chaos before a new world order. And what will the new world order be, and what will the Antichrist be like, and what will be the spiritual presence in the air and on the ground, and why will there be a an attempt to annihilate all believers worldwide, an attempt to eradicate Israel, and a goal to get to the temple and say, the Antichrist to say, I am God, you know, to the rest of the world, in which some will believe. What is mankind? The structure of mankind. The reason that we're here. Listen, we dealt with on Tuesday night, mind control's ultimate goal. Blanket the perception. There's that battle that's going on, and it may be going on right now. I have no question that Satan can sometimes stop broadcasts and servants of God and witnesses of God doing evangelism. Or stop listeners from hearing. Take a read of 1 Thessalonians and you'll see where a great apostle of God, in his attempt to bring the gospel to others, there was a supernatural intrusion to stop him. Why stop anybody that wants to say God loves you and that God's got an answer and that God has a door open for you because of the cross and Christ and you can know God and have the gift of eternal life and everything can be forgiven? What's wrong with that? What really is wrong with the message? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Except at Hell's Kitchen, where a rage and an anger and a violent insurrection continues. And it finds its way into the hearts and lives of those who are already fallen. Maybe some of you listening now that are believers used to be haters of God. I mean, there are those that are haters of God. Wednesday night we dealt with twisting God, the propaganda, just kind of paint over God as if he didn't exist. Or to replace God with an alternative, which is really the dark side's agenda, preoccupation. Keep your eyes away. Keep your feelings, your sense, guilt. Keep all those things just packed with other things going on. Keep you numbed up. It's like being in a satanic psych ward where you're drugged with all of the newest spiritual gadgetry of the enemy so that you can be absolutely blanketed and layered, blanket after blanket after blanket after blanket, to where you really can't see what's outside. All you can see is what's underneath. And yet in a simple 1 hour like this, the supernatural presence of God, because on this side of the blanket, this side out here, when you're outside the blanket, when you've embraced the living God, when you know the living God, when you have the presence, power, life, love, and personal relationship. You see, you can come to know God, and nothing that tries can take away the reality. See, before I ever came to know God, I used to wonder how anybody knew whether God existed or not. Once I came to experience God in Christ, in my life, and have walked this way now for over 35 years, the question is, why wouldn't anybody believe? There's nothing but good in the sense that all is forgiven. God has come into your life. You're born again of the Spirit of God. You're given God the Holy Spirit to guide you, lead you, empower you. You have the care of God, the love of God, the guidance of God, the wisdom of God, and ultimately the gift of indestructible immortality, in which you'll be led to see God face to face. And all of that is bore witness not only in the written, living words of God, but when you come to Christ, the Spirit of God inside, and your experience, your walk, so that there is within the believer in Christ an anticipation, oh, even a longing to gaze on the face of God. Now, maybe Richard Dawkins will never see the face of God. Maybe rock stars that have vehemently screamed against God. I was at a concert when I was a police chaplain, brought in to listen to Pantera and to listen to Typo Negative, to listen to Slayer, to listen to Danzig, to listen to Marilyn Manson, and many other groups. And I remember the one time Pantera was out leading thousands and thousands of young people to curse God, and then to begin to hail Satan. So the antagonism, the hatred, the sense of good riddance to God, I mean, it's clearly out there. Tonight, the title on a Friday, May the 21st, 2010, is Why Won't God Go Away? Even if some are trying to nix him. In this really cool book here to the right of me that I told you about, Why God Won't Go Away. So I borrowed the title, Why God Won't Go Away. And they're going to talk about brain issues, and they're going to talk about brain architecture. They're going to talk about brain machinery. They're going to talk about quite a few things. And I'm not saying the book leads in the best of directions. It's just some scientists that are saying, hey, you know what? In all that they've studied, simply the reality is God won't go away. Science can't nix him. Philosophy can't nix him. Matter of fact, I've got a book here on the shelf. You know what it says? The title of it is Scientists Who Believe. Some of the top scientists worldwide in history. Scientists who believe in Christ and know him. I've got another book next to it called Philosophers Who Believe. I mean, there's musicians that believe, politicians that believe. There are bikers and prostitutes who have turned to Christ, businessmen, all across the board. In China and Russia, in Pretoria, South Africa, in Argentina. Doesn't make any difference. We're of the gospel. You know what the gospel is? Good news. It's about the message of God. God loves you. God comes to rescue you, to break the barriers of sin, death, Satan, hell, all of it, and put his presence right into your life and give you the power of God and the gift of eternal life. Now, being at the bedside of many of those over the years as a pastor that were dying, there's a vast difference. A vast difference in those that knew experientially God, Christ in their life. And those that did not. There are those that died in anger and hatred and violent cursing. There are those that died in enormous peace and joy and assurance. Like my grandmother, 80 years old, looking up at me, patting me on the face, knowing any moment she would open her eyes after death on this side and see God. She told me she had to go for me to wear my jacket to keep warm. She closed her eyes and she went. A friend of mine tells me that he was with a woman who had cancer, a believer in Christ. She had gone through a lot of the agony and all along still loved God, worshiped, waited. He said he was there one time as she was lying there. Finally, she closed her eyes and it seemed as though she died. A few moments later, she opened her eyes and looked at him. And she said, "Oh, darn." He said, "What?" She said, "I thought this time I was really going to die and open my eyes and see Jesus, see God. And it's only you." It's only you. There's an amazing side on the other side. It's all about, though, the battle, the war. I asked the other night, is there any good reason why you wouldn't want to know God? Is there any good reason why to reject the love of Christ and the gift and the promises and so forth? In the answer to that, we're going to deal again with the God is dead movement, theothanatology tonight. Yep, theothanatology. I even saw on the web today that there is a English rock group, Leatherface, got a song out there called God is Dead. Time magazine, Is God Dead? Nietzsche, God is dead, we've killed him. That's basically what Nietzsche said. It's more than just God is dead. Here's the actual words of the German poet philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche in the 19th century. Here's what he says, quote, "God is dead, God remains dead, and we have killed him. How shall we, murderers of all murderers, console ourselves? Is not the greatness of this deed too great for us? Must we not ourselves become gods simply to be worthy of it? Referring to the ability to kill God. God is dead. God remains dead. This is the words, listen, of a philosopher, Nietzsche, influenced a lot of individuals, including Hitler and others. Although he died emotionally a wreck, mentally a wreck, crazed, some say. If God is dead, Nietzsche, then what? If God is dead, Nietzsche, then what? The other side, if we killed him, how? Are we talking about Christ and the cross? Are we talking about the secularization of society? If the atheists, the theothanatologists out there want to nix God out of society, out of mind, out of thought, out of politics, out of everything. I'm going to tell you that on the dark side, biblical revelation, and in my experience of dealing with the demonic in exorcisms, there is an insatiable, ancient, but yet seemingly eternal, unyielding, unbending hatred towards God and a goal to rid existence of God. There's been an attempt to remove God in the heavenlies, an attempt to kill God in human flesh, Christ. Read about it, Revelation 12. The ultimate end of all of this clash of battle. And listen, what is happening in the world right now, in the political world, the economic world, the military world, the globalization, the New Age movement, chaos before New World Order, the old Masons, the old occult streams. What in the world is going on? Behind the scenes, peeling back the curtains, is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who's now operative in a global sense. There is a movement towards, you know why? You know why it's all happening? And I know that some people, listen, maybe an atheist listening right now, at least understand what I'm saying. The reason is a race towards Armageddon. Not even towards the temple, not just for the Antichrist to arise. It wouldn't be good enough just to get rid of the church, get rid of the Jews, get rid of Christians, come up with a new Luciferic religion all around the world, a worship of Satan in human flesh. That's not good enough. Antichrist in the temple saying that he is God, the abomination that causes desolation spoken about 2,600 years ago in Daniel. 2,000 years ago by Jesus Christ, Matthew 24. 2,000 years ago, we read about it also in other prophetic revelation in the New Testament. That's not where it stops. It's not when the abyss is opened and all the kind of hell breaks out on earth. At least those who don't know God are going to be the ones struck and hit. It's not about that. It's about a behind-the-scenes raging hatred that needs to stop what's about to happen. God coming back finally and ending all of the radical evil, all of the tragedy of this fallen human society. And opening the doors to the healing of the nations. To real justice and real peace and no war and no rape and no hunger and no oil spills in the Gulf. No volcanoes in Iceland. No tsunami in Indonesia. No earthquake in Haiti. No socialism in America. It'll be the rule and the reign of the Prince of Peace. Now, that is coming, but I don't know if everybody understands that the clamoring right now and the breakdown in all that you're seeing is because there is an agenda. Now, God has given a heads up, and again, in dealing with the proof of the existence of God, prophecy, what God has said would come about in the past, being 100% accurate and continuing to be 100% accurate, it is phenomenal. It blows out of the waters, Webbot, Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, psychics and remote viewers, and 2012 prophecies. In magnitude, in detail, in accuracy, infinite God, uncreated Holy Spirit gives snapshots of real future human history. There's parts where I see myself. If you're a believer in Christ, Revelation 19:11, you're there. If you are a chosen one, if you are serving the Luciferic side, if you are an undergrounder, just reconning this show, then Revelation 19:19 and specifically 19:20 is the warning of God to you. Let's stop for a moment just to let you know that, especially if you're brand new and listening, I want you to know that you can write to us during the show, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. And just every once in a while, from wherever you are, maybe you've never done it before, send us an email just to say hi, where you're from, and we're glad that you're there listening. Many of you that get the archives later on, send us a note. Doesn't have to be long. Just say hi, listening, and where you're from. And we appreciate that. Sometimes we're able to air the questions and comments right during the live show. Sometimes we can even bring them up later in the next week. But let me say tonight, on this May the 21st, on a Friday, we're a little over halfway during this show right now. And you know, you're listening to someone that says that God is alive and well in these last days. That many believers are seeing the last days, and many are hearing of the catastrophic, the bad things that are occurring, the enormity of the Antichrist, the abyss, and Armageddon. Triple A's. The triple A's will bring about, listen, Antichrist's apocalypse to the world will spell out the last 7 years, basically. And it will spell out the greatest deception, the greatest loss of human lives, billions, in the shortest amount of time, the broadest destruction of the environment ever in history. That's what it spells out. And it involves the second A, eventually, somewhere maybe in the middle of the tribulation time, the abyss. And if you want disclosure, if you want the extra-dimensional entities to come across onto the side, if you're looking for those entities to actually descend upon the earth and these you can call them supernatural, you can call them otherworldly entities, whatever you want to call them, but that which comes out of the abyss will seem like the descent of alien presence. They're definitely alien to this. They're never meant for this world. But if you read about the story of the abyss, you're going to read about how the dark side gets it opened. And here they come. God, alive and well, sovereignly restricts the level of the lethal evil that is released. You got to check it out. I don't have time to go over that tonight. But that's the second A. The third, of course, is Armageddon. And I'm convinced that most of the movies out there, most military individuals that have engaged the concept, don't understand. It has nothing to do with nations fighting nations, a third world war, a final war that ends all war. There'll be battles and skirmishes and all kinds of stuff prior. But Armageddon is not about mankind fighting mankind. It is about the apex, the pinnacle of supernaturally empowered, guided, directed, globalist unity in the most empowered military system in human history, globally. gathering together in one place, raising their weaponry into the sky for the third attempt to kill God. Theothanatology deals with the concept. As a matter of fact, you can go to shatterthedarkness.net, and when you look at where it says you can listen to live radio, you can see the titles for this week. And under Friday night's title, Why God Won't Go Away, Even When Some Try Hard to Nix Him, there's an extra MP3 entitled God is Dead, Got Questions article that I think's really good, that brings in the Nietzsche issue, brings in the theothanatology concept, gives you other related topics. Does God exist? Is there evidence for the existence of God? Is God cruel? Is God a delusion? Is God fair? Did God create evil? Those are all just questions, simply, I think, that were pretty basically answered. And I put that up there for, again, just an extra bit of backing to the show tonight. So tonight, you know, regardless of the background you come from, let me say that no matter what occurs, I'm going to tell you what happened. This is absolute reality. When I was engaged as a young man, 19 years old, partying, trying to be a Buddhist, trying to be into spiritual occult things, trying to get an out-of-the-body experience so I can get to the Ascended Masters. At least that's what the master at the temple was teaching me. That's where I was. I was trying all of that stuff, but then there was somebody that shared the gospel, and I was engaged in kind of debating God's existence, God's love, how do you know God, if God is real, all these questions. I remember pounding my head with my fist, just lightly, not too hard, just kind of tapping my head with my fist, saying, God, get out of there. It was as if God was bugging me. And I'm going to say right now that if you listen to these shows during the week, if you are engaged, because we're praying, it doesn't make any difference. Even in the archives, I don't care if you're in Russia, China, it doesn't make any difference, or when you hear that, when we tell you that Christ died for you, God loves you, there's a way to know God personally, and when we tell you that God so loved the world that he gave Christ, the only begotten, the one and only, the Son of God, and we share the cross, the death, the resurrection, that the Spirit of God will be operative in your life. He's operative worldwide. That's why I want to say to all the believers and everyone that knows of the catastrophic, the terrible things some have called this decade from 2000 on, the decade from hell. And with the oil spill that's bringing massive contamination now to the, it's actually striking the beaches now, and there's no end in sight. The book of Revelation later speaks about how, well, vast sums of the world's water will be absolutely stricken. You can look at Wormwood, you can look at all that's going to go on. Talk about environmentalism. For all the environmentalists out there, please understand that God created a sacred planet, but that it is his. That the Word of God in the book of Revelation talks about God dealing with and judging those who have raped and destroyed the earth. And that in the hands of the infinite God comes the ability to bring new heaven and new earth that will no longer be tainted or destroyed. You see, creation all around us is part of the issue of the evidence of God. I won't go there just yet. But if you're listening tonight or in the archives later on, in the series God is Alive and Well in the Last Days, whether it's the Antichrist, whether it's the Abyss, whether it's Armageddon, which involves the last day of fallen human history, it really does. For the Satanists out there, the chosen ones, the brotherhooders, and those out there that listen silently, quietly, behind the scenes, you see, if you understand it correctly, if you read Revelation 19, 19, 19, 20, not one single believer in Christ, not one single human being born of the Spirit of God, given the gift of new life in Christ, will be there. You will not be fighting them. They will have been gone, glorified, dwelling in indestructible, immortal, glorified bodies, seeing God face to face, every tear wiped away, living in, well, more than the majesty that man had in the garden, beyond the Adamic nature. We are now, then, in the future, in a glorified body. Redemption involves not taking us back to where we've come from, but elevating redeemed humanity to the highest level possible. So for the Luciferian, for the Satanist, for the Brotherhood, or for the Chosen One connected to the coming chaos and the rise of Antichrist, whatever they've told you about fighting believers in the end, Armageddon, is not your day of glory. It is your day of utter and quick and total annihilation. Please, when you read Revelation 19, 19, 19, 20, realize that no prophetic declaration of God, no prophetic glimpse that the Spirit of God has ever given, has ever been able to be stopped, altered, changed by humankind, by Satan himself. It's going to happen. But for a lot of the believers in Christ, you're listening to all of the end time events. We're hearing all these tragic things in the United States. We're in this battle with a masked globalism that has the precursors of socialism. That listen, the man behind the curtain is operative in America, and that's why there is a dismantling, a revisit. You know, there's a revising of everything and a change. Yeah, change. What kind of change? Change that opens the door to the demonic presence of globalism that will lead to the three A's: Antichrist, the Abyss, and ultimately Armageddon. The greatest destruction in humanity is going to need the pinnacle of deception and masquerade, and it's going on. Where do you stand? Whom do you know? Whom do you serve? So on the day of Armageddon, you'll either be on the ground with the mark of the Antichrist, your worship of the image of the beast, supernaturally charged, believing that you are the pinnacle of military, super soldier, spiritual, you know, power. My point of view of Revelation 19 and the return and the descent of God Christ is that the pinnacle of satanic presence, power, manifestation, and collective unity between mankind and hell on the field, the highest possible level, call it weaponry if you will, is nixed in probably less than an hour. So all the bad news that we hear going around, all of the financial, the environmental, the political, the counterfeit and hypocritical religious junk, the sense of destruction, the feeling in the air of chaotic, catastrophic events coming. In the context of all of that, please, let me speak directly to those who are believers in Christ. God is alive and well in the last days. God's power, God's grace, God's mercy, God's agenda, what God will be doing in the world, his sovereign restriction of the free reign of evil, his sovereign limitations, his operative work. Don't forget that until the descent of Christ, the dead in Christ rise, we who are alive are caught up. Until that day, humanity can still be saved. People can still come to Christ. The mission of God to reach the world is still in place. Jesus said he would be with us to the very end of the age. Let me say very clearly, it is not yet the end of the age. Some believers out there have already set their Bibles on the shelf, put away their sword, put away their witnessing tracts, put away everything, and you're just sitting there waiting like a bump on the log, eating a granola, waiting for the end. God wants you to bear fruit to the end. God wants you to do his will to the end. God wants to manifest his grace, power, authority, and mercy through your life in such a way that others are reached. Some of the devil's work can be destroyed. That's what evangelism does. That's what fierce prayer using the authority of Christ can do. That's what a witness, a light, bearing the like light of Christ in the world that we live in. Matter of fact, the darker it gets, if you're a believer in Christ, the brighter you should shine in the way that you live, in the character of your life, integrity and truth, in the love of God. I mean, there's going to be people that are literally dying under the depression of the economic, political, multinational, environmental violence and destruction and harm and dismantling, all of this. You must remember that the gospel is still infinitely powerful to the very last day. You must understand, until God closes the door, you are to continue to pray. You are to continue witnessing. You are to continue using your authority against the dark side and to expose evil deeds of darkness and to warn the world and to speak. If you've got a doorway to the politicians, a doorway to the military leaders, a doorway to the economic leaders, if you've got a doorway to the prostitute on the ground, the biker riding is Harley, then witness. Witness. There is no greater message, no greater hope, no greater power, no greater love than that which is found in the God that came in human flesh and on the cross, sinless, died in your place and for the sum total of humanity. What Christ did at the cross is huge, and there is no bigger thing. The spiritual power demonstrated and available is unequaled, unprecedented. Right now, as you're listening, it may be by the providence of God, that good arrangement of God and the work of the Spirit of God to summon and draw even you who have not yet believed on the Christ who died for you. The Spirit of God summons you. The Spirit of God calls you. The Spirit of God says, come now to Christ, that the living Christ may enter into your life, give you immediate relationship to God, bring the Spirit of God in, bring forgiveness to your sin, give you the gift of eternal life, open up your human perception by the Holy Spirit to see the Word of God, to have the joy of the Lord. So for every single one of you who are believers, stand and worship God. Stand and be a believer that loves the body of Christ and loves other brothers and sisters. Get the hypocrisy out. The Word of God says to, you know, because of the grace of God, you read about it. You read about it, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Purify yourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit. You and I, as believers in Christ, in the darkest of night, in the most chaotic of times, You're to be a light of the world. How is it that anybody that says they know the living Christ, indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, no greater power, that you're filled up with the living words of God, no greater words, that you've got the love of God compelling you, no greater love, that you've got the Savior himself dwelling in you and with you to the end of the age, no greater presence than that. How can it be that we sit questioning? If the world makes you mad, if the enemy's making you mad, if you see it all going that way, don't just be crippled by the events that God has already given us a heads up about anyway. You still have time. I don't care how hardened relatives have become, spouses have become, children have become. Saul of Tarsus, he was hardened. He was dead set against Christ. But there were those who were praying for him. And Jesus visited him. I don't care what Richard Dawkins says. It doesn't make any headlines in heaven. God's throne isn't quaking. It doesn't make any difference if Leatherface sings a song, God is dead. If the dead, now in hell, Nietzsche, has said God is dead and we killed him. Or God is dead and he remains dead. Listen, if you want to immerse yourself in philosophical thinking and end up believing that, well, let me tell you something. What do you have? When it comes to the deathbed and the end of your life, and you're looking up there at the ceiling, what happens next? Is your life at a regret? Listen, I don't care if you've been the most powerful political leader in the world. You're not bigger than God. Military men and women, you're not bigger than God. Don't let Satan play the game of building anger and bitterness in your heart to where he aims you at God with all that anger and bitterness. It's the devil himself that has brought destruction to the world that continues it and is going to bring more than ever in history, ever in human history. And you better get a heads up now. And you better embrace the love and power of God who can be the lifter of your head and let him fill you with his presence and power and gifting, and use your life. Have you looked at the Philip factor yet? We've got the message up. ShatterTheDarkness.net. Take a look at the MP3s. For believers in Christ, there is the Philip factor. Listen, for those who are on the other side, whose side? Do you stand on the other side because you don't know God? You're mad at God? You're bitter at God? You believe what Richard Dawkins says? You believe what Nietzsche says? You know, Crowleyite? Where do you stand? Maybe just a trucker. Maybe just a waitress listening there at the computer. Somebody sent you the archived message. Bottom line of the person here telling you that the Spirit of God compels with a love for you personally. I cannot tell you a greater message than the fact that God in Christ on the cross said these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do for you. It's there he died for you. New Age spirituality won't save you in the end. The aliens aren't coming for you. The Ascended Masters, the Great White Brotherhood, some kind of mystical, harmonious energy, cosmic stuff on another level is not coming for you. Mystical religion, where you know nothing but some kind of strange feeling, doesn't save you. If you want God directly in your life, if you want to know God directly and personally, you've got to take a look at God in human flesh, Christ, the infinite God in beginning, was God, was the Word. Read the Gospel of John chapter 1. My dear friends, we've come to the end of the week. We've come to the end of the hour. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net. And I'm simply just going to pray right now that God will move in your heart if you don't know Christ. Let the Spirit of God guide you. Go to the Gospel of John, read chapter 7. In this mix of craziness that is happening right now, it's still about you personally. God wants you back. And you can come right now to Jesus Christ. My dear friends, this is Russ Dizdar, Friday, May 21st. Apologize at the beginning of the show. We have a little bit of interruption. At the end of the show here tonight, it's your time to choose. As believers out there, it's your time to stand. God bless you. See you Monday night at 6 p.m. ShatterTheDarkness.net.